one of the things that's challenging the people of Montana is revitalization, especially in rural Montana. And I'm going to say rural America because having communities like Wolf Point, Montana, where we're at here today, economically strong. The people then are just more and more getting together in their community to support, and we're going to see that here today when we talk with the Desjardins. They are Wolf Point business owners and started the General Mercantile just a couple of years ago, but that has already had an impact. Got a great show lined up as we are 406 in to Wolf Point, Montana to talk about rural revitalization and how Wolf Point can help build its future. We've got Mayor DeShock on. We've got Commissioner Taves on. We've got Matt and Elizabeth Desley on. And from the Great Northern Development Corporation, it's Quincy Walter and Carly Lecoq. Got that for you today here on Voices of Montana. Welcome here. We are at the Sherman Inn in Wolf Point, Montana. My thanks to Nicole and Wendy for their assistance here today. And boy, we have already had a show with these people off the air in the last 30 minutes or so. And this is going to be a lot of fun. Let me, as I mentioned a bit later on, we will be speaking with Quincy and Carly from the Great Northern Development Corporation. They're doing just a ton of work in this area, as our first two guests will attest to. Chris DeShock, who's the mayor of the city of Wolf Point, and Roosevelt County Commissioner Robert Taves is with us. And as I mentioned, again, Matt and Elizabeth Desjardins are making a commitment to the community, and that is, I think that speaks volumes. Coulter Brown is with us here as well this morning. Good morning, Coulter.
Hey, Tom. Thanks for having me. You know, we got to hijack your show yesterday in Culbertson and talk ag all day. But, you know, in rural communities, especially along the High Line, ag's important everywhere. So I'm glad you get to have me on again today.
Me too. And that's what Commissioner Taves was saying was as we were gathering here today, too. Let's welcome Commissioner Robert Taves and Mayor Chris DeShock. How are you guys doing, Robert?
Thanks for having us. No, we're doing great. We're doing great. We're in the heat of harvest time. Guys are wrapping up hands. So perfect timing for you guys to come up here talking about ag and revitalization. And ag is one of our biggest business, one of our bigger drivers up here in Northeast Montana.
It does still continue to drive the economy here as well as oil. I think you guys have become maybe the second leading oil county in Montana, too. And Mayor DeShock, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing wonderful. Thanks for having us today.
Yeah.
With school starting the end of summer, I mean, it kind of kicks off exactly what small towns actually need when it comes to school shopping, when it comes to school supplies, when it comes to harvest and feeding families and that. No, it's a perfect time for you guys too. I'm sure up here.
Well, thank you for welcoming us too. And we have had a lively conversation. We like to laugh a little bit and that's really good. But as we talk about these issues, these are something that's on your plate every day. Revitalization, economic development. There's more on your plate too. Chris, when you became mayor, you've been in city government for a little while. It has been one of your priorities to revitalize the community. What does that mean?
Back when I was a kid, a long time ago, you could walk down Main Street and every single spot was open with a shop for clothing, for shoes, for anything like that. Small town now is extremely hard to fund all that kind of stuff, to support all that kind of stuff. As much as we are ag, and I would say Wolf Point is extremely ag with the fertilizer plants, the farmers, and all of that are local, it takes a small town to be able to keep all of them happy. We have a joke about going online and being able to order stuff in a few days' time, and people get complacent with the fact that they can do that. It's cheaper, it's not better, but they can order it in. But there are times, absolutely, that you need to go downtown, and if you don't have those stores to help you out, small towns will probably just fold up. And when it comes to that, you have the infrastructure, you have the roads, you have the sewers, you have the water that needs to be funded. If you don't have the taxpayers to help do that, it just becomes an overwhelming cost, and you can't.
It takes a commitment, right?
I mean, absolutely.
And the Desjardins have made a commitment. And
100%.
It also takes a commitment from the community to support that. Are they doing that? How do you move that ball forward?
Advertisement, word of mouth in that. Everybody that stops into my store, if they ask where they can eat, where they can do that, you have a certain amount of stores or shops in town that you just automatically send them to. With Wolf Point Mercantile, by far the best fry bread that you can get within hundreds of miles.
That's the first time I've heard of that. No, God. It's not. That's the first time I heard of that.
And you just have to be aware of local supporting local, local telling out-of-towners to support local. And if you don't do that, I mean, it's again, more word of mouth than anything. We have to be our number one supporters in town.
Robert, from Commissioner Tate, from your standpoint, right, Chris is concerned about the city of Wolf Point, right? He has to work with the county, Roosevelt County as well. But is it different from city revitalization to county revitalization?
I think it goes hand in hand. You know, you have the city of Wolf Point, which are within the boundaries of Roosevelt County. And if you don't have taxpayers coming in to the city to spend their money, those people are the ones that are out in the country. So you have to have a city that's able to support the rest of the county around it. And from the egg side of it, like Chris was saying, you know, being able to come in and get something picked up, sure, you can order it. But in the egg world, when you break a part, you needed it. You need it today. And how better than to come into your local town and pick it up? And when you come to town, then you're going to stop by at the Desirelli's, at the Mercantile, and you're maybe going to grab a bite to eat because you're in town. So if you can keep getting your supplies in town that are a critical part of agriculture, you're going to stop by and you're going to patronize a local business on your way back out of town. So it goes hand in hand. And if you have a good community base, and if you have that place where you can buy those things, you're going to be more willing to come into town, and you're going to stay off the internet. And that's the biggest thing. Dare I challenge people to maybe one thing you're going to order out of town, or order off the internet, come to town and buy it.
Yeah.
Just try it one time, and then maybe stop and get something to eat. But the communities within the county are a very vital part. In countywide, we're from Culbertson, from the North Dakota line, you know, all the way across. So we're looking at the county as a whole, and Chris is looking at it at the city of Wolf Point.
You know, Robert, we were talking earlier, you know, about the need to shop local. Quincy mentioned that she had to get a new microwave and had to wait 10 days, but by God, she was going to buy it local to support her community. And
thumbs up.
It's important to do that we have these businesses, because when you have a basketball tournament, you need sponsor, you need buyers at the junior livestock sale. Who are they coming to? The same businesses every time. So how are the businesses doing? Are they able to continue that, to continue this support?
They're countywide, and I just did the 4-H auction for Roosevelt County for their fair, and it was local businesses throughout, from the banks to storefronts, all the way across. And there was even egg people there that were bidding on things. So, and I always say and I try to visit with all of them, if you're down there, you might not be the buyer of it, but at least you're there and putting a bid in. And they're supporting, they're doing the best they can, but there is a lot of load that's been put on the local businesses to keep the basketball tournaments to go on the rodeos, but they're doing the best they can to help support the events that are going on.
Well, unfortunately, our young people seem to be our main export out of our rural communities. Is there opportunity for them to come back, though, whether it's working at a business in town, a multi-generational farm and ranch like yours? Are we bringing those kids back?
We're trying. We're trying. Egg is tough. You got to have a little bit of help to stay in egg. So it is a tough deal, but I would welcome, back in the day when I was a kid, I'd get farmed out to some neighbor to go out and work. And so we're not seeing a lot of the young kids, but the ones that are here have that opportunity. And I think parents are wanting those kids to stay in egg. It's just the pull. Not everybody's cut out for the egg life, right? And you got to have that love. You got to have it in your heart. And there's jobs for everybody out there. You just hope that we can keep that egg base going and keep that family farm base going. A lot of these farms are growing, but they're still family farms, and if we can keep it away, I shouldn't say keep it away, but keep it more family farm instead of corporate farm. That's what I would like to see in Roosevelt County.
Chris?
And even to add on to that, if you look at our local newspaper, there are jobs for teachers, for nurses, for doctors, for every range of every educated spot. In Wolf Point, try to get your plumbing work done. Try to get your HVAC or your heater on there. You're waiting weeks, if not months. And when it's January and your heater goes out, we all know you can't wait that long.
Right.
So HVAC, all that stuff, laborers, welders. There are jobs in small towns that offer the amenities of city wages, city everything. So yes, not only ag, but small towns offer everything that you can want, need, or that, at least for a AM job.
Chris DeShock is with us, mayor of the city of Wolf Point. He also owns a business not far away here. Yes. Called the Swap Shop. I checked out the website. Looks pretty good, Chris. You're obviously pretty busy. Also with us here is Robert Taves, Roosevelt County Commissioner and presiding officer of the commission for 2026. Infrastructure, right? And I know Great Northern Development Corporation will come on, Quincy and Carla here in a little bit, and talk about that. You know, I kind of want to ask the question one way, you know, if you had whatever it was, $5 million, if you had that wish list, so to speak, to work on infrastructure, you know, what would be your priority, Chris, as mayor? What would be your priority, Robert, as commissioners?
I would say, can we add another zero on there and make it $50
million? Might as well. It's a wish list anyway. So.
And I say that to put in perspective that the city this budget year alone has $17 million in obligations specifically for our sewer system. Mm. We are at the end of our phase four, well over $20 million into repairing and replacing that, and we're probably 80% done. I had somebody ask me, because our streets, maybe you drove on them, they may not be the best, ask me what is the cost. Less than 10 years ago, it was $1 million a mile. We have 26 and a half city streets in town. That's $26.5 million. I just looked it up yesterday, and that cost has increased from $3 to $5 million a mile. In tax revenue, we're, I would say, a very tax-depressed economy here. With even our special services, it is a drop in what we would need. We're looking at, just in street repair alone, close, I'd say, $50 to $100 million in that. Water, $25 million. I mean, more than, it's insurmountable.
And I read today that the city of Glasgow just increased just 15% property taxes specifically for street maintenance. And so when you look at an increase in your property taxes at 15%, that's a hard sell. But when you look at the cost of street maintenance going up, you know, almost 100%, that's also a difficult situation.
And I always say it's we deal with the sins of our fathers, and not I don't say that in a harsh negative way, but you don't repair your roof until your ceiling starts to leak. You don't repair your water lines underneath your house until your water is soaking up through the soil. These are issues that have been put on the back because we haven't had the funds to be able to do them for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. Unfortunately, we're at a point now where you have to do them. We have water failures. We have sewer failures. We have potholes the size of maybe whole cars. But it's at a point now where the amount of money that we need to fix everything is more than we will ever be able to have.
You're not alone.
We are not alone.
Yeah, as witnessed by Glasgow. Robert.
We're pretty fortunate countywide that we have the oil activity going over on the east end, so that does help Roosevelt County out quite a bit. But there's still always the needs. You know, we're looking at roads that always need maintained. Bridges, structures, we've got culverts that need to be done. Would you like to have an open-ended checkbook for law enforcement so we can help law enforcement? You know, those are some of the major things that if it was just, you know, write a blank check, that you would like to have those abilities to give the entities what they need to be able to do 100% of the job that they really have that drive and determination to do. It's when you come down to budget, and we're just working through our budget now, and you always find those spots and those asks come in, and you scratch your head, go, well, can we do half of the things on your list this year, or, you know, how are we going to adapt and overcome to that? And obviously the biggest thing is if we had that big chunk of change, would you like to go non-taxes for a few years? You know, if that was the biggest thing, could you give tax relief to all of the citizens of the county? If you didn't have that money burden, I think everybody would put their hand in the air and say, yeah, I like that thought, you know, but it's keeping the taxes low and keeping the infrastructure up is the main goal.
You know, and spending that money wisely, too. That's always a challenge because there's a lot of need out there. We'll come on back and talk more about that. And we'll also talk a little bit as we introduce guests here who are standing by at the Sherman Inn. It's really great to have you guys here. You're looking great. You got smiles on your faces. It's beautiful that you're here. Home of the world-famous Stampede, and people know what that means because that's been going on for a lot of years and have visited here as well. We are 406 in Wolf Point, Montana today, live from the Sherman Inn in Nicole. Thanks again for having us here, and also Wendy for serving. I want to say hello to Sudi and Kylan, Sudi Pipe and Kylan Jensen from KCGM. You guys made the trip here. Thank you for coming over. Oh, that's great. You know, and that hometown radio, same with Lee here at KBCK in Wolf Point. I love the spirit of hometown radio people.
Oh, it's so fun, Tom, and just the local feel and how people support each other and connect and just come out for this. You don't get this in the big towns, the big cities, of the just support and connection, and there's only a town here people show up for each other, and boy, do they.
We'll be talking with members of the Great Northern Development Corporation a bit later on, Quincy Walter and Carly Laycock, and then also Matt and Elizabeth. We're going to get them a mic here in just a little bit, but first, Chris DeShock, city mayor for Wolf Point, and then Robert Taves is the county commissioner for Roosevelt County. They're going to brag on you a little bit here on the air, and it's not going to be hard, Chris, because you're sold on that fry bread and anything that they can put on the
anything
fry bread.
That they make. No, when they first started, you kind of saw this little star starting, and it's like, hey, something new is popping up on downtown Wolf Point. And it created a lot of buzz. They painted, they've remodeled, they've done so much to not only bring a business to town, but to take Wolf Point as a whole and shove it in that store. Even with their newest clothing store, the new fad, we had a fad for years and years and years, probably centuries.
1914 is what they were saying is when the fad came in.
And that came in. They have a, I called it a square on the other side of the store that I see they're putting a concrete in, that they're making an outdoor space. They are absolutely a Wolf Point. They're new, the Wolf Point's newest success story, and it is amazing to see how much they are doing with their square foot.
Robert, brag on them as well again, because they have earned it, but how do you get more Deserlys?
That is the...
well, there is about 16 or maybe 12, and we lost track, right?
That they have the secret sauce, right? But one of the things that when you talk about small town, right, and you see when they first started and the rumors start going, okay, well, what's going on down on Main Street? So then this buzz that Chris is talking about starts going, and you hope that with somebody doing something like that, somebody else has an idea that pops in. And with Great Northern Development here, you hope they take that idea down to the professionals down there, and they can walk them through and they can streamline this plan. But what they did is very, very unique. They went more to a cultural type of deal. They found a niche market, right? In around here, and we're on the Fort Peck Indian Reservation, and in fry bread, everybody knows fry bread. But you couldn't get fry bread every day. You had to wait for a special event, or if the stand was set up and people were able to cook it, then they would run in and grow. So they found a way to take a niche market to where people can now call in or order up their fry bread, and they can go down and get that. And then they're using bison as well. So that is another avenue that they went down, that they found a niche market, but they've also utilized the fad from 1914. They revitalized Main Street. So instead of having an empty building on Main Street, they revitalized it. Two buildings. They revitalized it, and they started that buzz. And you just hope that kind of fuels a fire for somebody else, and somebody else has an idea.
And I would add only on two, kind of like egg, they've asked family to be there, kids, and that work there. So not only are you in there with them, but you're in there with their family, like the farmers and that. So it's awesome. It is awesome. And one other thing, Elizabeth, which I don't know if she wants me to tell her this, but she stepped into the role of the chamber president for Well Point 2. And when I saw that, it was like a perfect fit.
Yeah, yeah, and that's a real commitment. Colter Brown.
Yeah, that Elizabeth, I don't know how you're going to get out the door here with these guys bragging on you so much. I'm going to have to make it a little bit bigger.
Matt, too.
Defend yourself a little bit here, but I guess my question for you would be, what was the impetus? What made you guys start this and give it a try? Because it seems like it's been wildly successful.
Absolutely. Well, you know, honestly, the idea, and I have to give credit to Matthew's mother, had this idea about revitalizing Main Street. She remembers coming here as a kid, and like the gentlemen were saying, shops on either side. There was a saddle shop, there was, you know, restaurants, clothing stores, just a great time in Main Street. And we went through a period, a time when that was gone. A lot of the buildings were boarded up, there was broken windows, things like that. We wanted to make a change. We were here with our family, we're here to stay. We have 12 children, we had five.
Congratulations on that.
We adopted seven of our relatives from this town, so we didn't have a choice. We wanted a good place for our kids to be in, and we didn't have a lot of money either. We had a dream and an idea. We had a lot of fun at Stampede, and so that was really kind of the idea for our place, was things that you find fun about the summertime. Why do you come to Wolf Point? What do you want to see when you get here? Well, I want to have some traditional bison. Well, I want to have a fry bread, Indian taco. When you have your relatives coming in out of town, you've got to have a place to go, a place to show them. So we've started the store. We've started with gifts and clothing and traditional local things. To be able to buy things from local artists has been amazing. So we've got artists coming in several times a week, and we're able to buy that beadwork, those star quilts, and be able to offer them to the community. So it's just been quite a journey. And it was really just bringing that family together and working together, teaching our children how we do it so that they can continue on, so that when we're done and tired, it doesn't stop here. It will definitely continue.
I love how you bring, you know, the local artists and you know, into your store and have that come alive, make Wolf Point come alive. Matt, I want to ask you about that. Large family, this is a commitment not only to them, but to the city of Wolf Point, so to speak. And Elizabeth talked about your mom kind of being the genesis of that. Talk about that experience. Talk about, you know, how it weighs on you, but how you also open that store and you've got expectations for the day.
Well, yeah, we did show up, and there was broken windows on the building, and it was just awful conditions. Things weren't right, and everybody knew it, and it was, everybody kept saying, this is the worst it's ever been here in Wolf Point. And we're like, why is that? We want to do something. And when we got into that building, it wasn't, we'd lived in San Antonio before this, and we couldn't have done this there. Properties would have started at $1 million. The, you know, everything about it would have been another million, and it just couldn't happen. Here in Wolf Point, my mom was able to buy the building of the Mercantile, which had been a fabric attic, and we bought that with you know, the amount of money people get back from their taxes. It wasn't going out on too big of a limb. We got started on that. We had about 3 years where we were just replacing floors, doing lights, getting the bar built, putting in a few things. We had a little bit of COVID money. We started buying some merchandise. And everything that we did, we put into making that place better.
406 into Wolf Point, Montana. Did the For the Farmers tour at Culberson yesterday. Hope you caught that. If you didn't, voicesofmontana.com, find the podcast. It was a That was very uplifting as we talk about, you know, get into the livelihoods of the folks of Montana and how committed they are to their families and to their farms. Very encouraging. So that's on our podcast. As we're 406 now, Wolf Point, Montana. Sherman Inn is the site here, and really a good conversation going on both on the air and off the air as well with the folks who are here. We heard from Mayor Chris DeShack and also Robert Taves, who's Roosevelt County Commissioner. Colter Brown is with us. And now Matt and Elizabeth Deserly, again, it's the Wolf Point General Mercantile. I'm getting that right, huh? Yeah. And then also Quincy Walter and Carly Laycock joins us here as well from the Great Northern Development Corporation. Thank you guys again for coming on. We were kind of just talking with you guys about the family and the commitment to the business. Let's pick that up again. The early challenges. And I think they appreciate it, but they maybe don't know of all the little things that go on to keep a business vital, so to speak. How did you guys, what were some of those early challenges, and then how did you guys tackle those, Elizabeth?
Well, we were lucky to have a big family like that because, as we came in, you can't be in you can't be everywhere at the same time. You also can't just come in and afford to hire, multiple people at the same time. So since we had our kids, one person's at the register. Right now we've got our 29-year-old daughter. She's running the clothing store full-time while I'm in the kitchen cooking and managing. Matt, my husband, he's running the front end. I'm running the back end. So just being a strong family, we're able to pull those resources together and to really create something meaningful together.
Matt, what was the challenge for you?
None of us had ever been in any kind of retail before.
Oh.
Okay, it was a completely new market. We didn't know where to put shelves, how to hang things, what was going to be the organization of the store. We started out not even knowing what we were going to sell. My mom wanted antiques and stuff like that. And I said, Mom, we got to make it useful to everybody. It has to be... but we had to make it something that people were craving, needing. We needed the niche items like Indian tacos and bison and milkshakes, made from hand, made from cream and all those good things. And we wanted a place where families didn't feel like we had to shield the kids' ears. It was just a wholesome place we play classic music in there, and everybody's really just comes in and vibes for a little while. We have all these toys from back when when my wife was little, from when we were little. What do you do with that kind of stuff? Well, we decorated the whole place with it. Uh-huh. People come in and they go, "Oh, we had that little toy. We had that plastic Rubbermaid elephant and giraffe thing, and we had the the old Hank Williams album just like that." And so. When you walk in, it has a vibe, and that's what people have noticed. And so in that, we feel successful. And in building from everything from scratch, we felt really positive about that. We, like I said, we've been there for 3 years just doing what we could to move the project forward, but still just afraid of ripping that Band-Aid and getting out there and putting ourselves in that role where, like I said, never done that. So here comes GNDC with their minnow tank, and Quincy came and told us, "You need a business plan. You need you need to have a clear idea of what this business is for and what you're going to do." We have to have ideas. So we went and put together this business plan, and that really was the biggest help. I didn't know it. We took a business plan class in college, and that wasn't what we wanted. We didn't think that was what we were going to need. We did the minnow tank. We presented, and that was about as nervous as this. And we had to talk to the whole town and tell them, "Here, we're going to have ice cream," and we won. And I felt like, "Oh, wow, we have to do it now. We have to open up." And we opened up within 2 months of that. And after 3 years of pausing, and it just couldn't happen any other way. Besides, we put out a poll. We wanted to see what does the town want to see in this store? Is it going to be red or black? And they all voted and said, "We want a big red building on Main Street." We did that. And, there we are.
Yeah, right, and there you are today. Let's welcome the GNDC, Coulter, do the honors, okay?
You bet. Yeah. No, we got Quincy Walter with Great Northern Development Corporation, and Quincy, I mean, these guys are probably the poster child for what you're looking for. What do you say to someone else who, they can see a need in the Wolf Point community, but they don't know how to take the leap like the Desertlys have? What can they do, and how can GNDC help?
And let me remind that Quincy is a Regional Small Business Development Center Director as well. So, like Coulter said, right up your alley.
I am. So I cover all of northeastern Montana. So I start in Jordan all the way up to Plentywood, Glasgow all the way to Sydney. So, and I live in circles. So I live in a very small rural community as well. So when somebody comes to you with an idea of, I want to start a business, where do I start? Or I have this idea, you can come to the Small Business Development Center at Great Northern Development. And our services are 100% free and 100% confidential, which is sometimes the biggest thing when you live in a small town. You don't want everyone knowing your idea right out of the gate. So you're able to come, and I'm able to provide technical assistance from a small business. So from the idea of selling your business, maybe if you're looking to close your door, to maybe selling it to an employee, or you have a brand new idea, you can come and you can get that advising. So I typically start with a business plan because it lays the groundwork for these businesses. And every 2 years, we do what's called Minnow Tank. It's a small business pitch competition. I like to think of it as, if you've watched Shark Tank before, it's like Shark Tank, but because we live in northeastern Montana, we're minnows in the Fort Peck, so we're little fish in a big sea. So you get to come, and I do a training every, I do two trainings a day for about a week all across my area, and I put on over 1,000 miles in a week, putting on these trainings in the communities of what is a business plan, how is it best for your business. If you already have a business, how can we establish a business plan and grow your business? So it kind of lays that foundation, that roadwork for us to see where our business is and where we want to go. So I fundraise $10,000 from businesses and organizations within our communities of northeastern Montana. When I can't quite hit that $10,000, then I go outside of our region to find sponsors to help invest in our communities in our region. Then we host, we take one startup and one existing from each county that I serve. They go on, once they are scored, we have judges from outside our region that come in and judge this, so there's no local bias in there. And then they go to a live pitch competition. So that night is really a night of entrepreneurship. We at GNDC are called knowledge brokers. So if we don't know the answer, we go out and find it for you. There's an SBDC across the entire state of Montana and all across the U.S. So if you have a small business idea, go there. Start there. And then we go, this night is a night of entrepreneurship. We bring in resources from across the state. So we have Montana Manufacturing. We have 0 to 5, which specializes in daycares and resource centers like that. We have all these partners come to the region. So if you're not a finalist, you can come and learn about other resources that your business can utilize. They go on to do a, they have 8 minutes to pitch their idea, what they would do with that $5,000. Our judges vote. Primarily, it is a business plan competition, so the majority of that comes from their business plan that they already submitted. But then a part of it does come from that live pitch idea. So you get to learn about other small businesses within northeastern Montana, because it can feel very isolating when you're in your business all day, every day. You don't know what's going on in Plentywood or Scobie if you live in Jordan. So it's a great way for us to come together as northeastern Montana, see the needs in our community, because it's a lot of the same needs but in different areas. And we're able to kind of come together, maybe use some resource knowledge there, and we're able to award $10,000 to small businesses in our region that are able to turn around and utilize that to build up their community, whether it's a bakery in Scobie, it's a coffee shop in Jordan. So we're able to really build that entrepreneur spirit.
Let me go to Carly Laycock again, Brownfield's program coordinator. Carly, good morning. Thank you for coming in, too. As Elizabeth and Matt began this business, they started looking around. They started, we need some infrastructure here and there, but we also need a little bit of cleanup in certain places. And so talk about how important that is, or what role that sort of plays in revitalization.
Yeah, so I manage the EPA Brownfields Grant, which is federal funding through the EPA. We also partner with many other entities, like the Montana DEQ. I have our regional office of EPA down in Denver that I'm constantly in contact with. We have a lot of resources with the State Historic Preservation Office. So, like, the building that they took on was 1914, I believe, the year. You know, they come with contamination. They come with some problems that were just common building materials used at the time. And so now we don't really want asbestos. We don't really want the lead-based paint. So we go in and we do an assessment on the building, and it tells us what's in there and how to get rid of it, and usually includes like a cost estimate for the property owners so they know what they're getting into beforehand. A big thing that's big around here is that our Brownfield program is not a regulatory, we're not a regulatory agency.
Yes.
We're a voluntary cleanup program, so they can come to us and they get these assessments for free. And what they choose to do with that is up to them. if they don't want to move forward or they don't have the funds to move forward, they can choose not to. There's nobody, you know, slapping their hand and saying you have to do anything. So we go in, we take these buildings, we get them assessed, we find out what's there, and then we, if there is stuff there and they choose to move forward with us, GNDC has a RLF cleanup grant from EPA. So we can actually help with the funding sources to go in and abate these buildings to make them safe so they can redevelop them, so they can remodel them into what would work for what they want to put in there. I mean, it brings these old buildings in these old downtowns back to life. We also deal with gas stations, petroleum contamination, things like that. And the cool thing about those is they were always built in the ideal locations. And so we want these buildings and these places put back into use because they're in the ideal spots in towns for where business should be.
We're going to take a break and come on back, and then you guys can brag about GNDC. And then we'll talk about, she's talking about the locations, you know, and how over the last couple of years you've seen your impact there on downtown, on Main Street in Wolf Point, Montana. So, again, Great Northern Development Corporation, Quincy Walter, Carly Laycock, and also from the Wolf Point General Mercantile, and also the new fad, and pretty soon the lot, too, right? It's Matt and Elizabeth Desilie. Keeping rural America alive in our communities, that's been the theme. Here's where 406 in Wolf Point, Montana. Tomorrow, Governor Greg Gianforte is going to be on the program. So we'll continue this conversation with him as well from that perspective. Welcome back here to the Sherman Inn of Wolf Point, Montana. Colter Brown is standing by here as well. Krista Schack and Robert Taves, they were on earlier. Chris, the mayor, and Robert, commissioner for Roosevelt County. And now it's Quincy Walter and Carly Laycock from the Great Northern Development Corporation. As we kind of finish up here with Matt and Elizabeth Desilie, did you have you wanted to add anything?
I was just going to ask if you could hurry up so we could get to the fry bread. That's really all I'm interested in at this point.
That's about 3-4 minutes away. Elizabeth and Matt, I mean, you kind of have been sort of the center of attention here in the start of the show. So I want to, you know, have you any last thoughts or any comments here, Elizabeth?
Well, I just want to encourage other businesses, other families that have ideas to get out there. This is Montana, and we all need to support each other. I heard Chris mentioning earlier about shopping online. Well, anything you get, you can shop online. Well, it's about that human connection, I think. It's about people being able to come in, to be able to just say hi, have a little conversation, find out what they need, find out how we can bring those things to our community. Now, I cannot say enough about GNDC and the resources and how they really made this possible for us. It did begin with the minnow tank us being able to present our ideas and having people appreciate it. We could see that that's what the community wanted, and it really gave us the push to go do it. I want to thank the Department of Tourism. We did receive a small grant from them that is helping us move our patio project forward so we can have an outdoor space there. We want to thank the Native American Equity Fund. We are a Native American-owned business. We'd received that equity fund a few years ago that helped us put in some lighting.
Sure.
So that was very important. But I just want to encourage other businesses. This can happen. You know, it can happen because we are a community. You know, I now work for the Chamber of Commerce. I've become the executive director at the Chamber of Commerce this year. A few months ago, I haven't been there long, but this is a good opportunity for businesses to be able to collaborate, to work together, to get involved. I encourage, you know, everybody, community, to become involved and stampede, to volunteer, to get out there, to come to the fall social that happens here at the, you know, at the rodeo grounds. There's a Christmas stroll that happens at the Sherman Park. And these are opportunities to get out, to meet your neighbors, to become a part and get involved.
Very nice. Quincy, kind of give us the last word on that. How are we doing revitalizing Wolf Point?
The ideas are there, and the community's there. We see this need of people are starting to realize, you know, get your beef local, get your pork local, get your chicken. And this idea of small businesses coming back in, you know, get your bread local, too. So all these local ideas are there. It's acting on that idea and acting on it, reaching out, making sure it's a well-vetted idea. Maybe somebody else has had the same idea, but your twist on it, your niche market is there. But reach out. If the idea is there, reach out to the SBDC, reach out to the Food and Ag Development Centers. We're here to help and support. We want to see growth and development in our areas.
Every community that's listening to this program today is encouraged by this. I will tell you that. So thank you so much for all that you do. It is Carly, that's right. And there's Chris, and there's Robert, and Matt. Thank you so much. And Elizabeth, thank you for your commitment to Montana. Go Brown, good job. We will see you guys tomorrow.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.